This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
This is Sports Radio 610 special programming.
David Culley has been fired.
What's next?
We're reacting with you now.
All right, let's go to the people, 713-572-4610 to get in. The OG John Lopez joins myself, Landry Locker, and Wade Smith. He'll join us in about 15 minutes. Nick Caserio going to speak on the firing tomorrow at 11 a.m. on In the Loop. Smitty, we just heard the question, what's next? What should be next before we go to the peeps?
You got to hire a head coach, and the head coach needs to be Brian Flores.
Breaking news. You got to hire a head coach.
You got to hire the right guy. If you got this grand scheme, grand plan that you put together where you're saying, you know, we're going to hire a guy like David Culley and fire him after 1 year, okay, the next choice has to be the right choice. And we shall see. I'm not getting my hopes up because, like I said, I'm 0-2 with these Texans head coaching searches of who I would want and who they end up getting. So I'm not getting my hopes up. But to me, the best guy based off of what I feel like is a legitimate option is Brian Flores, and apparently he's one of the leading candidates. Hopefully they can close the deal.
713-572-4610 if you want to get in. Chris, you're on the round table, the Culley firing round table. Almost said In the Loop. Go ahead there, Chris.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hey, listen, I agree with Wade. I think Wade is 100% correct, but conspiracy theory here, right? So Caserio and Flores have the Patriot connection. And if I'm not mistaken, Flores and Watson have the same agent. Flores forces his way out of Miami. Watson wants to play for Flores. Flores wanted Watson. Caserio was supposed to have his press conference earlier in the week, but he canceled after the Flores news came out. So something is fishy here. It's a conspiracy theory, I know, but it's too many things lining up here.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not sure that David Mulligetta is Brian Flores' agent. So I think that's the case.
He's not athletes first.
He might be athletes first,
which is a conglomerate of agents.
Big type of thing, yeah.
Yeah. I would say this. There's not 1% of me that believes that Deshaun Watson is ever going to play quarterback for the Houston Texans again. The one Hail Mary would be that kind of off-the-wall conspiracy. I just don't believe it. I 99.999% believe that he's going to be traded, and Nick Caserio is going to take those draft picks, and it's going to accelerate the process, depending on who he brings in as the head coach, for the Texans rebuilding organization.
So I
think it would be harder for him to rebuild the organization with Deshaun Watson at quarterback.
I'm kind of confused by this. You know, did Brian Flores getting fired change things? So were they going to bring back David Culley? So they were going to bring back David Culley after everything they watched, after all the mistakes, after all the gaffes, and they were going to bring back David Culley, and all of a sudden Brian Flores had to get fired for them not to bring back David Culley? I just find that really hard to believe.
I don't think it's quite as linear. I think that it was mentioned before that Nick Caserio had a list of guys, head coaching candidates that he had, you know, in his Rolodex. There's guys that he's been following over the years that he's been wanting to get. And I'm sure Brian Flores was on that list. but he wasn't available, and nobody thought he was going to be available. And maybe they knew behind the scenes that he might be, that he was going to push his way out, furthering the conspiracy theory. But if there's a guy like Jerod Mayo that's on the list, there's a guy like you mentioned Bubba Ventrón that's on the list of guys that he wants, he still could have went out and tried to get those guys after firing Cully. But what happens is Flores gets fired, and that's somebody that's higher up on his list that's available, and that's how he becomes the head coach.
Okay.
But I think Cully would have – he could have been out anyway, like, because he didn't do anything to – he didn't do anything for Nick Caserio to say, damn, I can't fire this guy. You know what I mean? He didn't come in and perform above and beyond and say, well, hell, we're going to run it back for sure, because, you know, he's handled this and he's done more than I thought he ever would. You know, the Texans went, you know, 7-10 this year. And he was great in the press conferences. And he always sounded like he knew what he was talking about. And he did all these things well. And, you know, there was things that he did do well within the building and with the players. He did some things well, but I don't think he did enough for Nick Caserio to say, yeah, we're not going to move on and try to get the guy who we think is the guy after this season.
Special Texans roundtable here. Landry Locker, Wade Smith, Jim Mudd in. John Lopez going to join us in about 10 minutes. What do you make of this notion? I've heard it a couple of times. I think it got a little bit chippy with Sean Pendergast before I came on the air, and I think even before you did. This notion that this is like a knock on Caserio. He hired David Culley, so this is a blemish on the resume of Nick Caserio. I just don't agree with that. Like, I do not agree with that. I don't think that that's the case. I think this is a unique situation that Nick Caserio walked into. Nick Caserio walked into a situation where Deshaun Watson was disgruntled. You didn't have a first-round pick. You didn't have a second-round pick. There was nothing appealing about this job, so the options were limited. So this hire of David Culley, unless you think the Texans are just starting completely over, this hire I don't think is a blemish on the resume of Nick Caserio. I really don't. I think that you saw what happened, what Davis Mills did. You saw the way that Nick Caserio drafted with limited compensation. And I don't necessarily think you have to take a step back now when you lose David Culley. I think you can continue the momentum. I don't think this was any step back.
I look at it like this. There's two ways you can look at it. Are you looking at it as a realist, or are you looking at it at completely at face value? Because at face value, it has to be a blemish on Nick Caserio's ledger. It has to be a blemish because at face value, okay. The reason why I say that, because at face value, you hired a guy, and in a year into it, you have philosophical differences. Well, why would you hire
that guy? That was a lie. You don't believe that. That's why I said
at face value. Yeah. If you're just going at face, if you're going to take them at their word, it has to be a blemish. If you don't take them at their word and you're a realist like I am, then you say this next hire determines if it's a blemish or not. If you get this right, then it's not a blemish. It was part of the grand plan.
Yeah.
If you mess it up, then you literally threw away a year and didn't get the right guy in next. Now it's time for you to move on. So it's feast or famine when it comes to this next move. It's all dependent on his next move. Like I said, if you take it at face value based off of everything they said, it has to be a blemish on his ledger, because you had to fire a guy a year after you hiring him because you had philosophical differences. That's what they said. I'm just saying that's what they said. That's at face value. Now, being a realist, understanding that when it comes to front offices, it's always going to be line season. They're not going to show their hand if they can keep from that happening. Then, you know, this is part of a bigger plan. And so we got to let that plan play out before you can say, you know, that was a bad hire or not. Because I don't think there was nobody that was willing to come into this situation the way it was last year when Nick Caserio was trying to hire somebody that was really worth their salt. And that would, like, if he would have hired Jim Caldwell, what would have happened is they would have won too many games and he wouldn't have got the guy that he really wanted. You understand what I'm saying? Because he couldn't fire Jim Caldwell after going 7-10, 8-9 with the talent that was on his roster. You can't fire that guy.
Yeah.
But there's a small list of people that he really is wanting to be the guy for the future of this franchise. And now I think we're going to see who that is.
And that's why, the David Culley unfair word that comes up, I think it's just goofy. I think it's just goofy. I think it's silly.
If you're taking everything at face value, then it's unfair. No, but it's not. But we live in the real world. It's not face value.
And this is what you hear. And I've heard McClain say this so many times. He's on with Clinton Show tomorrow. I hope they push him on this because it's so silly. Like, it's so damn silly to say that it's unfair and he deserved another year, because that's just not how the world works, and it's damn sure not how pro football works. Because think about what McClain is saying. I don't think it's unfair because I don't think David Culley was going to be a head coach anywhere else. And because of the turmoil and because of the incompetence, he even said this to Brandon Scott, David Culley was able to get this job. Congratulations. He's getting some money. He can say he was an NFL head coach. Hell, he was never even a coordinator, and he got that opportunity. Then you hear guys like John McClain and others say, well, you know, if you're going to bring him in, you got to give him at least 2 years, or you got to do this, this, this. That's not how the world works, man. Like, that's not how anything works. That's not how sports work. Like, if you're bringing in a quarterback, like, if you sign a quarterback to, like, if you draft him in the first round or something like that, yeah, you'll probably give him a little more wiggle room if he's a highly touted quarterback. Like Trevor Lawrence right now, Trevor Lawrence is going to get another year in Jacksonville because they invested the number one overall pick in him, and probably 30 other teams would have liked to have had Trevor Lawrence. So they're going to give him another year. You think some jamoke that's drafted in the sixth round that nobody even wanted to draft, it deserves an extra year? And these expectations that I keep hearing laid out, well, you know, he won this many games. He won four games, man. Like, Las Vegas had the win-loss total at 5.
No, I thought it was at 4.
It was 4.
Sean P got in at 4. I remember that going into the season.
Yeah, it was a push at 4. That's right.
I said take the over.
It was a 4.
It was close.
It was a push. You would have got your money back.
Yeah.
But, like, this notion that a guy who no one else was going to hire deserved as much patience as, like, a Brandon Staley or a Robert Saleh or something like that, that doesn't make any sense. It's either stupidity or it's selective ignorance to where the Texans don't deserve the benefit of the doubt. You criticize everything that the Texans do, and you're sitting here saying something that you can't even I can't even believe McClain can shape his lips to say that David Culley deserved another year. It doesn't make sense.
The reason why he can say that and the reason why he's saying that is because he's taking everything at face value. He's basing that take based off of everything that the Texans said leading up to that point. And everything what they said, there's no reason
Shouldn't
for them to fire.
McClain, of all people, know better than that.
I think that's just part of him saying, you know, I don't like the way you guys are operating as an entity, and so I'm going to make these statements so that you guys catch the hell you're supposed to catch. Because you're not supposed to operate in this manner. You are dealing with human beings now. You're talking about human elements and stuff like that. And everybody, you know, the money is one part of it, 100%. But, you know, people move and go to different places, and you would think you have some type of opportunity. Like David Culley didn't do anything less than what was expected of him coming into this job. So if somebody hires you for a job I don't think he underperformed for what I expected coming into this job.
Smitty.
What?
With how he looked in certain in-game situations, did you expect him to know whether or not a timeout was called or whether or not a pass was thrown?
It might have been even worse than we expected.
I
expected that to manifest itself as a head coach because he's never done it before. He's never been like You got to understand, when you get put in a role that you've never done before and you've never had that responsibility and that many things, moving parts, things are going to slip through the cracks.
How is that going to slip through the cracks?
Because when he explained it, he said, I was mad about the penalties that we got, and I've been harping on penalties all day. Like, when you're the receivers coach, you can be mad at your receivers that they didn't run the route at the right depth. You've been coaching them up on that all damn week, and they got it wrong in the game, and now you're going to have to hear about it from the head coach. Well, when you're the head coach, you can't be focused on that little stuff anymore. You got to focus on the big picture. But he's been in the same role for 30 years, and then you're going to get into a whole new role. You're going to have things slip through the cracks. So 100%, he did not underperform to me. That's why when you asked me the other day, his performance was what I thought it was going to be. When he was hired, I expected him to have those type of mistakes. But I also expected him to be positive and do things the right way and have guys believe in him and want him as their coach and play for him. And that's, he did all those things. So he did what he was asked to do, period. So So most, that's why you can say at face value, he didn't deserve to get fired. Because, and that's why a lot of guys from outside, from national media, at face value, he did everything you asked him to do. You gave him nothing to work with. You know, you put him in a situation where he didn't get to pick his staff, and he went out there and
you
got
you for David Culley hiring his staff?
Bro, it's two different things. You're talking about two different things. At face value, he's supposed, if you're a head coach of an organization, you're supposed to get the opportunity to do that at face value. But he came into a situation that it was not a face value situation. Everybody knows that.
He knows that.
Exactly.
That's the other, that's the other thing. Exactly. Like, he knows that.
And I don't think people are giving him enough credit when he stands up.
He knows
up,
this.
He stands up in the, at the press conference and says, you know, as far as I'm known, the head coach of the Texans, and I'm not going to talk to anybody. They're going to come talk to me.
Yeah. He knows.
He knows.
He knows.
I got 22 coming regardless.
713-572-4610 if you want to get in. David Culley has been fired. Nick Caserio speaking tomorrow at 11 o'clock. We'll get into the mind of Nick Caserio. What is next for the Houston Texans? And could there be a potential candidate that we are not talking about yet? That's next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Sports Radio 610 Special Programming.
David Culley has been fired.
What's next?
We're reacting with you now.
All right, Wade Smith, Landry Locker here. David Culley has been fired. Nick Caserio speaking tomorrow. Brian Flores, Gerard Mayo, those are the guys that are being mentioned right now as potential fill-ins. I think you got to look out for the Indy guys. Matt Eberflus, Bubba Ventrone. We're getting texts about D'Amico Ryans.
I tell you what, if D'Amico Ryans became, it's very funny for lots of reasons. If D'Amico Ryans became the head coach of the Houston Texans, first of all, the city of Houston would, I don't know, we'd collectively. I don't know. I can't say the word that what we would do.
Act a fool?
The big O, like all over the place.
O-face?
Like, O-face all over the place. Because, and it would signal so much of what you've been, any evidence that have been provided for you from the Patriots and the guys that have come from the Patriots since they've been here. That would signal something that was like, oh, they're for real about this whole, we're going to, you know, open up the deck and we're going to exhaust all options, and we're going to bring somebody because D'Amico Ryans is going to be a good head coach in this league for sure. But the philosophy, the way he's been brought up through the league in the Patriots way, those things do not coincide. They don't coincide at all as far as, you know, just how they operate and how to do business. And then there's other things beside that that D'Amico Ryans has had issue with the organization over the years. And so him being a head coach here, you know, bet a thousand, shoot a thousand. Ain't nothing. I would not believe that would happen one bit. That would be great, though. I'd be excited. And a lot of other people would be excited if that happened. I just, you know, don't see that at all.
713-572-4610 if you want to get in. David Culley is out. Who is next? That's going to be the question. We're going to have to anticipate deja vu. Same thing as last year. So we've been through this.
Yeah.
This time around, it does seem like there's, I don't want to say it's a more appealing job, but the list of candidates, even regardless of what you're, it seems a little bit more.
The Texans are in a better situation today than it was last year. This time last year.
Because you know that you're going to make the Watson trade.
Yeah, that's looking
the
more and more.
The certainty is more clear.
You know, that looks more and more like it's going to happen. So that's more certain. You got young talent on the roster. You've seen guys getting developed, and you've seen Nick Caserio have his first draft and seeing that everybody in that draft looks like they're a legitimate NFL football player. At what level, we'll see what happens over the next couple of years. But, you know, you have cap space now. You have draft picks now. All these things you did not have this time last year.
You have Davis Mills. I don't know what Davis Mills is, but there's at least got to be some intrigue there. I'm not saying David, people are going to be like coaching, potential coaches are going to be like knocking down the door to work with Davis Mills, but there is some intrigue there. There's something to work with.
I think you look at Davis Mills right now, you say, hey, ceiling-wise, this guy could be Kirk Cousins. And if that's
which
the case,
is fine.
That's a great get
which
with
is
a third-round draft pick.
Yeah,
it's a great
fine.
Get. And so he's looking like he could potentially trend to be that. So that's good. Now, he's still got to continue to improve so he can get anywhere close to that level. But
I think firing Tim Kelly was a big step toward that.
Yeah, that was a check mark.
I think that was the most credible move that Nick Caserio could make. Like, even if you decided,
I think it was the easiest to make, though.
Well, you think that, but
it should be the easiest.
It should be.
It should have been the easiest move to make.
But the fear that I had with it, and I think this is something that where you check the good for Nick Caserio, if they wanted to run it back with Cully because they felt like they didn't have anything to really lose and they were still, you know, kind of a little far off before they got competitive and could get their guy, I wouldn't love it because I don't think he's a quality NFL head coach, but I would have been able to vibe with it. If they would have brought back Tim Kelly, I would have had no choice but to think and reevaluate what I think of Nick Caserio and think that maybe there's some politics that are going to come into play here that rub a lot of people the wrong way that even Nick Caserio partakes in. Specifically, having the same agent as Tim Kelly. He fired a guy who had this same agent. And being so married to this offense that he was going to bring back Tim Kelly, who was a Bill O'Brien clone, maybe a better play caller than Bill O'Brien, but it was a guy who knew the New England offense and it was extra vanilla. So I know that at least Nick Caserio isn't incompetent there and he at least could make the, I hate when we do this, but the bar is so low with what this organization has done since, I guess since O'Brien and Easterby were a duo.
Yeah.
That making the easy decision is almost like progress.
Like he actually did it.
Yes, like you know what I'm saying?
Like he did it.
Yes, you're right.
He
like
did
in,
what he's supposed
in,
to
in
do.
A perfect world. Yeah. Like in Rick Smith prime world, like in your time, in Rick Smith prime world and Kubiak prime world, if they did something that was a common sense, like no bleep Sherlock decision, it would just be like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, next. All right, let's talk about this. But in this situation, I'm proud of him for making the common sense decision. That's where we're at. Hopefully we can get away from this, but that's what Nick Caserio inherited, and that's the situation we're in.
100%. You got to think about the times they kept throwing David Johnson out there to be the starting running back
Man.
For the team after they made that trade, and you knew that he was not productive. I think he had two good games in his career in two seasons. I mean, that's not good enough for DeAndre Hopkins, but they kept trotting him out there, and you're like, why do you keep trotting him out there? And you felt like it was something behind the scenes. It wasn't something based off of what he's doing on a day-to-day basis and what he's producing on the field. Because like I say, I come from a space where I'm used to and I expect that if I perform well, I'm going to play and continue to play. If I don't perform well, I'm going to lose my job. That's the NFL in a nutshell. There's some politics that come into the play where some people get a little bit more roped than other people. But the bottom line is if you can keep on going out there and not playing well, you're not going to play. And those things weren't happening. And so now that's where the bar said, well, hell, he actually fired the 32nd ranked offensive coordinator in the league. It was supposed to happen. It happens every year. Like, I wish you should probably do a deep dive on this. In the past 10 years, the offensive coordinator that coordinated the worst offense in the league, did that guy get fired after that year? I would probably say 80, 90% of the time they did. So the Texans firing Tim Kelly.
Yeah, shouldn't be a big deal.
It shouldn't be a big deal at all. But it kind of is because you're like, okay, we actually have some stuff that makes sense is happening over there.
713-572-4610 if you want to get in. Larry and Stafford, you are on the special Texans roundtable following the firing of David Culley.
Hey, I appreciate it, man. I hope you and Wade, enjoying the night, man, just with all the back and forth, because I know we are out here.
You sound a little bit happy, Larry. I feel like there's a little smile going on right now. A little bit. A little bit.
Hey, man, there's a smile. There's a glass with some ice in it with a hen. Hey, man, it is what it is. And I'm going to enjoy this. And it's not just – and I'm going to focus mostly on the organization – versus on Deshaun Watson and all that, because that stuff would be dealt with. But let me say this real quick. We some people like going to the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo, and they like getting on the Ferris wheel where the carny just put them in there and then he closes the gate. But they never really see the carny had not put all the bolts to the Ferris wheel on there, so they get their ass stuck at the top until somebody can come rescue their ass. And I don't know if people can really understand that analogy, but let me help you out. You're not going to make me feel sorry for David Culley. No, David Culley don't feel sorry for David Culley because he understood the position that he was in when he took the job. But here's what really kills me. Tim Kelly's ass should have been gone when Bill O'Brien was gone because his ass was sorry then. So we just need to go another step further. We know Jack's still over there, and we're going to have to try to figure out how to maneuver around that clown. But Tim Culley didn't warrant another year. Just like David Culley didn't warrant another year. Because let me tell you, Sean Pendergast asked a caller earlier when he was on, what does David Culley do well? Well, let's focus on what he doesn't do well. Let's focus on the fact that whenever he goes into a press conference or whatever, he really don't know what he's talking about, or he just gives answers, then has to come back and clean it up. But what he really did well was allow Jack Easterby and Nick Caserio to have cover so that he could take all the bullets that everybody was firing at him. So it's not about that. The National Football League isn't the West U Little League baseball team where they give out Skittles and orange slices. It's big man football. It's a grown man league, and you got to have a leader of men. And David Culley may be the nicest guy in the history of being the nicest guy, but his ass was not the best football coach in the history of football coaches. And that if you're an owner in the National Football League, that's what your ass should be looking for. And for all these people saying, well, the next coach come in, he may only win five games. Let me say this about that silly ass thing. So, but at least you'll have something that you can build off of. Why give David Culley another year to go ahead and make us all miserable, and then we got to start this process later? No, dog, I'm a firm believer in if your old lady don't like your ass, you might want to cut her off. And that's exactly what they did. And having said all of that, fellas, I got plenty of mo. I can be on this radio station all night long telling y'all exactly why this was the right move. But I'll just say this about Nick Caserio. You have an opportunity now. You have an opportunity now to do the do-over that your ass should have did in the first place. I suggest you go out there and get somebody that obviously is going to be one of your dogs that you've been in the room with. That's what everybody's telling us. But you might want to get somebody that everybody over there understands what the plan is, so we're not piecemealing this damn thing together and going through this same cycle in the next 5 years that you got left on your contract. Because most Texans fans that I know are tired of it. And I tell you, as every time I sit and look, if I'm going to renew my season tickets again, I got hope now that your ass is going to get it right. So maybe I'll sit in my seats more than one time this year. Other than that, fellas, y'all might want to buckle up because I think this thing going to get a little more bumpy in our hall.
There you go. We'll see what happens right there. Coming up, who should be the coach? Not who is going to be. Let's live in our own worlds. Who I think should be the next head coach of the Houston Texans and who Wade Smith thinks should be the next head coach of the Houston Texans. Plus some more of your phone calls next.
This is Sports Radio 610 Special Programming.
David Culley has been fired.
What's next?
We're reacting with you now.
All right, who should be the replacement for David Culley? 713-572-46. And we're going to get John Lopez on in a sec. Smitty, not who will be, who should be David Culley's replacement for the Texans?
I'm going to say from Brian Flores. He should be the replacement for the Houston Texans. What he brings to the table as far as being a leader of men, him working with with not a lot out there in Miami. The success they had on the defensive side of the ball, I don't know what that would mean for Lovie Smith. I guess they would be changing defense again. And that's something that you really got to take into consideration when you're talking about who's going to be the head coach. Is he going to be willing to have Lovie Smith remain in that role and run that defense when he's been running the same defense and having success with it in the NFL? I highly doubt that. But Flores, to me, is the guy that's going to come in here, that would come in here and give the Texans the best chance to succeed as long as they don't go 100% Patriot way.
Okay.
And that is the caveat.
So that's your pick.
That's
Brian
my pick.
Flores.
Brian Flores. Okay. That's the guy that should be the head coach.
Okay. I'm going to go with D'Amico Ryans. I would take D'Amico Ryans. We didn't say – look, we
what
said
What are we
should.
Doing here? What
you
are we doing
should.
Here? Are we talking
you
about,
said should.
We talking about La La Land or are we talking about being real? I'm trying to give the people a real answer.
The real answer, we know that damn list. And I'm glad you went right to the top of it. Thank you very much for sure.
Of course, D'Amico Ryans.
Not who could. I said D'Amico Ryans. You're living with Brian Flores. You want to be Patriot Sal still? That's fine. But
I like how you flipped that. You see how you did that,
J-Lo. J-Lo,
good and damn well, D'Amico Ryans.
Oh my God,
J-Lo, we got Patriot South Smitty here. He wants to keep the Patriots.
Well, he's tough, smart, and dependable. He's tough, smart, and dependable. That's for sure.
Give me your reaction to first of all. We had gone off the air about 10 minutes before the Cully news break.
Funny how that worked out. I don't think that was an accident, by the way.
Yeah. Mm.
Took that personal, Lopez.
Your thoughts on the firing and your thoughts on where we are right now, and then tell us who you think should be, not will be, should be the guy.
I am all over the place on this. Mixed emotions. So you guys know I had a thing tonight, so I was listening to you on the way home, and what really struck me is like what should be happening and what is happening. You know, and I'll start with the coach thing right there. Well, who should be the coach? The Texans, basically, nobody is acknowledging that they have a chance to get. Right? You said D'Amico Ryans, man. Sign me up for D'Amico Ryans. I think Wade misunderstood your question because I don't think Brian Flores would – maybe I'm wrong, Wade. Tell me in a second. But I don't think Brian Flores would be the coach that you think should be the guy. The problem is it's almost – they're in such a place right now, and they're pigeonholing themselves in such a place – that people aren't even acknowledging the obvious. Because the obvious answer is someone like Doug Peterson, who's won a Super Bowl trophy. All right? The obvious answer is someone like Matt Eberflus. You know, the obvious answers are the guys that are proven, have been in the hunt, have gone through the interview process, have been around some great coaches, and have been successful. So if you ask me, you know, who should be, I think it should be one of those two guys. Who will be is a totally different question. And I think that's a testament, and it's a damning testament, of what the Texans still are. And because I think it's going to be either a Gerard Mayo or Brian Flores too. Wait, I really do.
So this is the thing. If you go into who it should be, then you start putting yourself in the EA Sports situation because it's so unrealistic that it's not going to happen. Doug Peterson, D'Amico Ryans, Gary Kubiak, these are people that would come in and do an excellent job with the Houston Texans. Like, those are the guys that should
Gary be. Gary Kubiak.
100%.
Well, Gary depending Kubiak. On his health, depending on his health, I'd bring him back.
You don't think Gary Kubiak will come in here and do an excellent job coaching the offense?
All right.
Like, what are you talking about? Has he ever had a bad offense?
I mean, if he was stressed out in Denver, you don't think this is stressful? I don't know why you're wishing ill will on your former coach there, Smitty.
Nick Caserio's a stressful guy?
I mean, this situation is stressful.
Guy.
This situation is not good for Gary Kubiak's health.
Well, let me jump in real quick, because that's the other point when I said I'm all over the place. We're going to have plenty of time to talk about Jack Easterby and all that, but Nick Caserio's statement today, and I know you guys saw it, I was like, are you going down that road really? I mean, I guess they have to. He says, I meant to inform that we're moving in a different direction because philosophical differences. They really said that? Philosophical differences? I mean, how can they have philosophical differences when David Culley didn't have a voice? There was no voice. He did nothing. He didn't work with the offense. He didn't work with the defense. He didn't have any input. They pulled his string, and he said what they told him to do. All due respect as a man, but he didn't have a voice. You're really going to go down that road. Like, okay, like they were buddy. Like, this was Bill O'Brien and Rick Smith, or this was Bill O'Brien and Brian Gaines.
I think it was George Steinbrenner and Billy Martin.
Yeah, you're really, this is what you want your fans to believe. And Wade, that's what Landry and I were talking about today. It's really about the fans. I'm sure you saw my, and you listened to the show. I'm sure you heard me talking about what Bob McNair has said about when you lose the fans, you're dead. Is Nick Caserio all of a sudden, or is this just out of necessity he's saying this? Is he really want people to believe this?
I hope that's not the case, because there's no way you can make me believe that philosophically David Culley didn't fall in line with what y'all wanted, because he did
right.
Everything you wanted him to do. Like
right.
He literally took the coaching staff you wanted. All the talking points that you wanted out there and the shots that needed to be taken because he was the head coach of the organization. He did that, all of that for you. So philosophical differences. The only way I could believe that is if Culley was like, I know I got $22 million coming, so I'm going to actually stand my ground on something, even though I haven't stood my ground on anything the entire time I've been here. And that's very, very hard for me to believe. It's one of those things that you say so that you can go along and keep on painting that narrative for people that will believe that narrative. I don't believe it. I don't think you believe it, John. I don't think Landry believes it. But that's what's put out there, and that's what some people are going to have to, you know, they're going to have to decide for themselves if they believe that's the case or not. But at the end of the day, that part really doesn't matter. What matters is what he does next, because he can correct everything with the right decision with the head
right.
coach. If he makes the wrong decision with the head coach, and if he makes one of those decisions that are very predictable and somebody that is, you know, somebody that's going to be very impressionable, or somebody that's going to be able to be easily dictated to, then I have no confidence going forward of what's going to happen. I kind of seen that story before.
Yeah.
And so this is an opportunity for Nick Caserio to step out on his own and say, this is my show, but I understand that I have blind spots. I need to get somebody in here that's going to help me with my blind spots, because everybody has them. Like, everybody has blind spots. So
yeah.
if he has a great opportunity right here. I told Landry last week, I think it was, that this is going to be the most polarizing offseason in the history of the Texans franchise. There's so much going on. We hadn't even got to Deshaun trade and what that's going to mean and what's going to come back, all that type of stuff.
Yeah.
Andre Johnson going into the Hall of Fame, all these things that could potentially happen this offseason. But this decision that he's going to make over the next 72 hours or however long it takes him to make, that is huge, and it's going to be a visceral reaction one way or the other. It's going to be a big-time reaction, either good or bad, for him and for the Houston Texans organization.
Yeah. I mean, and then the last thing, Landry, and I don't mean to be, you know, kind of talking over you here.
We want to hear from you. We've been waiting for you, sir.
With
that bougie-ass dinner that you're sending
man,
us pictures of.
What a dinner.
That
food
looked good, man.
Oh, my God. But, then the last thing.
Three Commas Cafe.
It was the last thing was, as I was listening to you guys, and you're talking about keeping Lovie Smith and the coaching staff and all that, and I was one of those listeners kind of yelling at the radio, just like I hope a lot of our listeners do. I was like, no. Here's my point, you guys. I would love for Lovie Smith to still be the defensive coordinator, because he's earned it and he's good. But I don't want Nick Caserio to have as strong a voice on the next staff. And what I mean by that is, if you're going to hire whomever it may be, Gerard Mayo, Brian Flores, or maybe even one of our, you know, dream candidates, let them have everything. Let the head coach actually be a head coach. And if it's Lovie Smith he wants to keep, great. If he wants to try to work with Pep Hamilton, great. If he wants to axe everybody, great. That would be my preferred choice. I think one of the problems that we're going to be talking about here in the next year or two is going to be Nick Caserio on the headset with the next coach. I hate that. I get it. He did it with Bill Belichick, so it's kind of hard to argue. But I want the next head coach to have at least autonomy on the field.
I don't mind him being on the headset. I just don't think that he needs to be doing as much as he was with Culley, but I think that almost has more to do with Culley than Caserio. I think Caserio would love to be in a situation where maybe the headset's on like it was with Belichick, but he's simply telling whoever the next coach is, hey, they're coming out in this formation.
Right.
This is what they've come out the last three times, and then he figures it out. I think with David Culley, I think putting the headset on is probably a little bit more difficult. It's like the difference between babysitting a baby that's a very well-behaved baby that sleeps 70% of the time, and then babysitting a baby that can't sleep that has ADHD. Like, I think that's the difference between having the headset on if you're Nick Caserio. I think that he's going to do that.
Well, which one was
Cully? Because he did it with Belichick. He was sleeping with ADHD. It was both. It was a combination of both.
What do you think on that, Wade? Because I know I was texting you this earlier.
What aspect of it?
As far of like, I want the next – I don't want Caserio. I want him to be general manager. You know? Go sit with the owner.
So this is my thing. Caserio has had success doing it the way he's always done it. And from what everything that I'm gathering is Caserio, this is going to be a GM-run organization. If he's willing to bring in a guy that is as headstrong as Brian Flores, that tells me that he's being self-aware, or bring in somebody that's completely from, that's not from the New England tree.
Yeah.
That tells me he's self-aware and understands that he has blind spots and he shouldn't have to do so much. And so by that decision-making, that gives me confidence in what Nick Caserio is going to continue to do going forward. If he gets somebody, brings somebody in here that he is going to be required to, and he's going to have the ability to, and he's going to want to have his hands in everything,
right,
and determining stuff, then, like, I've seen that story before. And so I know how that story ends. And so that gives me no excitement at all. So we're going to have to wait and see. We'll see how
and we may never know, because, like, you know, who knows what the story is going to be about him being on the headset and what he's doing. Because it's one thing to be on the headset with Bill Belichick, because you got no voice. All you can do is make suggestions or say things. But when you're the general manager and you can tell the coach what to do, that's where I might have a bit of an issue.
So, but I think there's a little bit difference between telling somebody what to do and giving them input that can help the coach make good decisions, which I think is what he did with Bill Belichick.
Mm-hmm.
But he has to have confidence in his head coach to take that information and either use it or not use it, and have a legitimate explanation why he either used or didn't use that information. Because right. Sometimes you're going to agree to disagree. Like, hey, I understand the analytics on this. I understand the down and distance, but I felt like this was the thing to do, and this is why. And you can respect that and say, okay, I get that. There's more than one way to skin a cat. So, hey, I understand why you did it that way this time. More times than not, we're going to agree. And the time we don't, you're going to have, you know, a steadfast reason and logical reasoning behind it. I think he respects logic. I think he respects reason. And so that's what you look for in the next head coach. I don't think that that's the case if you bring in a guy that's very young, very inexperienced, because it's going to be, you know, the guy that's pulling strings is going to be Nick Caserio. He's going to basically be like the head coach from the press box.
Right.
John, appreciate you. Plenty to get into tomorrow. I'll let you get back to what you're doing. We're gonna let some peeps sound off, though, on this situation. By the way, Nick Caserio tomorrow at 11. So get your popcorn ready there. We'll sound off on this for an hour, and then 11 o'clock, Nick Caserio is going to answer some of the questions that we have for him. And for Cal McNair, maybe Cal will be there. You think Cal's going to be there as well?
Well, he made a statement today as well, as you know.
No, but is he going to be at the press conference?
Ooh, no, I don't think so.
You don't think so? Wade's shaking his head no as well.
No. When the head coach is hired, he'll be there. But right now, nah.
All right.
Yeah, because that's a good day.
All right, you bougie mofo, you.
Yeah.
How much was that check, by the way?
Ooh, is he going to tell it?
Yeah.
How much was that check?
I'll put it this way.
Uh-oh.
Wade would have to buy if I went back. That's for dang sure.
I'd have to what?
You'd have to buy if you went back.
No, it was great. It was
Landry
fun.
Don't sleep on Landry and what he got.
Don't sleep on Landry.
Landry ain't got no kids, man. He live at a place that's reasonable. He got their bread, too.
All right.
There you go.
Right.
There you go. No, it was fun. It was a great place.
All right, J-Lo, appreciate you.
All right, man.
All right, let's go back to the phone, 713-572-4610. John. You're on the special David Culley Fired Roundtable. Go ahead.
Hey, fellas. How y'all doing tonight?
Great.
Hey, Wade, I like what you said earlier, man. Folks been calling me and trashing David Culley for the longest when he really ain't did nothing wrong. You know, you can't bake the cake if you don't have all the ingredients. Now, personally, I think David Culley would have been back next season, but they have their coach in waiting. They really do. That's why they let Culley go. And I will say, this one thing I will say. After all that's been going on the last few years, I'm a Texan fan, but I do not support that organization. And for me, it's only one coach that they can hire that will bring me back. I was begging for this coach before they hired David Culley. And this coach has is more qualified than the flavor of the month, Flores and this other guy y'all talking about. And if this guy really want to come back to the NFL, hire Jim Harbaugh, then this organization will get some kind of credibility and respect again, because Jim Harbaugh walks in the door with this. You saw what he did with the 49ers. How Flores and them other guys did that. They don't have Jim Harbaugh. Don't worry about me, because I ain't coming back supporting this organization. I support the players, but never this organization. I don't need another flavor of the month. Every coach they hire has never been a head coach. It's always a coach they hire trying to make him a head coach. Hire Jim Harbaugh. If you want to come back, he right there. He got better qualifications than all these guys.
John, I got some bad news for you. You're not going to be supporting this organization. Yeah. That is not going to happen. Appreciate the call. Look, the record speaks for itself with Jim Harbaugh. 44-19-1. 5-3 in the postseason, 3 straight NFC championships, a Super Bowl appearance. Not happening, though. He's not coming to this situation. If Jim Harbaugh comes back to the NFL, look at Chicago, look at Las Vegas, look at the Giants, something like that. He's not coming into this situation because, quite honestly, before the 49ers got their bleep together and they had 2 one-and-done guys, Jim Tomsula and Chip Kelly, before they hired Kyle Shanahan, it was a similar situation to what the Texans were with O'Brien. So that's not going to happen. So you will not be supporting this organization. That's the bad news for you, man.
Yeah, listen, the chances of that happening are 0 and none. There's no logical reason why Jim Harbaugh would leave the Michigan Wolverines and what he has going on up there, come to the NFL to come here of all places. Like, if he comes to the NFL, Chicago makes a lot of damn sense. But I think that's probably the only place he would go to. This place doesn't – I don't think there's a check big enough that you could write to make him come here and what's going on here and everything that's entailed with it. But if Nick Caserio can get a coach that is outside of the Patriot coaching tree, I think that is a huge check mark in the right direction. If he gets a guy that is – you know, like a Eberflus, or gets a guy like,
I think Eberflus has a legit shot.
If that happens, then I will be pleasantly surprised.
I think there is a legit chance at that.
And if that happens, then I'll be like, salute Nick Caserio, good job. But at the same time, realistically, I just don't see that happening.
1-3-5-7-2-4-6-10. If you want to get in, Landry Locker, Wade Smith, we got a few more minutes here. So be quick with your points. We want to get as many in as possible. John, you're on the round table. Be quick. Get right to it. Spit that fire. Go.
Just real quick, Wade. I just wanted to touch base on your point that you just made a few seconds ago. If Nick Caserio is going to be successful, you said that he had to hire somebody that's not from the Patriot tree. What if the plan all along was to bring in Josh McDaniels? And on the defensive side, you already got Lovie Smith, who's not a part of that Patriot tree. So you got your two parts right there, and they already fired the offensive coordinator, Tim Kelly. So that's an opening spot for an offensive mind to come in, take that spot, and then you got your defensive side. Lovie Smith, who's been running it, already works, and you go into next year with that. What do you think?
The only problem I have with that is that means that they're going to continue with the game plan offense, and I don't think it works outside of New England, and it hasn't worked outside of New England. So that's all McDaniels signals to me. And also McDaniels doesn't signal to me leader of men. I've been around people that he was the head coach at. That wasn't his MO. That wasn't something that he can. And I think that's the type of guy that in this league these days works. Those are the type of guys that can beat Bill Belichick, because Bill Belichick ain't going nowhere. And that's the guy that you have to always think about. Who can beat him? Brian Flores has shown that he can consistently beat Bill Belichick. Nobody really can say that. I mean, Ravens coaches can say, like John Harbaugh can say that, but there's not many coaches that can say, I consistently beat Bill Belichick. Brian Flores actually has that he can in his hip pocket. The leader of men part of it, Vrabel, those type of guys, McDaniels is not that. And the balance, I think a lot of it has to do with Nick Caserio is an offensive guy. He played quarterback. He came up under that offensive system. If he's willing to step away from that, that signals to me he understands his blind spots. He understands that the offense needs to be more user-friendly so that you have a consistent run game, so that you can implement multiple players into spots and they have success quickly. what you see with West Coast offices, what you see with these RPO offices, hybrids that you have going on, the newer thing that's going on, that the New England way of doing offense is very difficult. Everybody that I've known that's been in it have said that it's the most difficult offense that they've been in. And so when you're bringing in young players and new players, it's very difficult to do. So that, I understand what you're talking about, you know, diversity in the front office, I mean, with the coaches and the coaching staff. But I think the offensive coordinator is the key, more so than a defensive coordinator. I'd rather have Brian Flores come in and use his defense and bring somebody that's from the outside coaching the offense. Then I'd 100%, but like Pep Hamilton, if they just said, Pep Hamilton, you're the offensive coordinator now, run your offense, and they say, Brian Flores, you're the head coach, and you can put somebody at the defensive coordinator spot that you want, then I'd say, hey, believe in the Texans.
All right, there we go. Wade Smith. John Lopez, Sean Pendergast, Clint Sterner, Ron the Show Hughley. If I missed anyone, I apologize. Jim Mudd holding it down. This has been the special roundtable. David Culley out. It's going to be an eventful day tomorrow on Sports Radio 610. Get it started with Payne and Pendergast at 6 a.m. Then In the Loop with myself and John Lopez, 10 to 2. Nick Caserio speaking at 11. And then cap it off with Clint Sterner and Ron the Show Hughley. We'll talk to you tomorrow, 6 a.m. right here on Sports Radio 610. Smitty, hit him with the catchphrase.
It's always real, fellas.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.